you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. It's Friday. It's December 8th, 2016. We're back into the book of Acts, Jason, our 237th time. A number of years. Let's see if we're into chapter 20, the later part of the chapter. Let's see, 20 chapters. We probably, I think.
Although I do have to say, I was watching a, I don't know if it was an interview or it was like a roundtable discussion. But the guy who oversees Grace to You Ministry, John MacArthur's ministry, he said that they were in Luke for 10 years at Grace Church, and that was now when John MacArthur went through Mark and John and Matthew, he was able to go faster because he had laid so much groundwork in Luke. But the guy said, I came to the church when we started Luke. I left the church for a season when we ended Luke. he said it's the only job he ever had where he got a watch at the end of a sermon series because it was, you know, a decade of service.
I think we're nearing 80. So 80, and you figure
we have a lot of fill. A lot of conversation in there that probably.
But we're back, everyone.
We're back into
this new year, and this is a fantastic, phenomenal book. As we read and divide and talk about God's Word, there's always a blessing in store. You just never know how God will use it, or an aspect that gets talked about, or how something's modeled, or even just how somebody is exhorted to do something or to respond, and how we can find points of application. So it's always exciting on Friday to open up God's Word and talk about it. And I'll begin with just the verse 28. I think that's probably where we left off a few weeks back, maybe a month or so back, but we'll continue on Fridays throughout this month, sharing this book of Acts with you. Maybe we'll have it done this year. Who knows? But I also want to point out, I know we mentioned this on Wednesday, Jason, that if people have Bible questions or questions about what we shared on Wednesday, is Allah God? Are they the same? Or something along those lines, or something about living for the Lord Jesus Christ, that fragrance of Christ, what does that mean? Or how can I be effective? Send those in, and we'll try to possibly in the days ahead address that on Wednesday if we can. So just address your envelope or question to Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Or you can always write staff@greatnewsradio.org if that's more convenient, and just say, hey, this is a question, or this is something I'm wondering about that's in Leviticus chapter 13. How do you read this, or what do the commentators say? Have you have any insights? And we'll do our best to answer that. And if you have that question, there's probably many others that also have it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's hard on, say, a Sunday morning or that to hear something and not quite fully understand it, but never really get a chance to be able to ask that question. I mean, maybe, you know, church is letting out and everybody's trying to shake the pastor's hand and you don't get a chance to ask your question, and then it kind of gets filed away, or maybe you don't even feel comfortable. You know, even if there's somebody out there who maybe, you know, you're thinking, gosh, this question seems simple, but I just don't know. You know what? Don't write your name on the envelope then. Just send in the question. But we just love to be able to hear from you and love to be able to engage those questions.
So we'd appreciate that. Again, yeah. Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Reading from Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Wow, that's kind of a packed verse to open up this new year in this book of Acts.
Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you purchased our salvation through the blood of Christ, that there was a sacrifice made once and for all, and his name is Jesus Christ. It's a name above all names, and that we call upon that name with a pure heart, with a good heart, with a heart that settles itself upon Christ himself, that we receive salvation. We thank you for the gospel, which is the message of Jesus Christ. It's no other message but that message of Jesus Christ. So we thank you that that's the message that saves. And Father, we just pray as we walk in your word, as we read your word, that you would give us humble hearts, that you would give us a willingness to be changed by your word, a willingness to rest in your word, a willingness to come to your word and realize that it knows more than we know, that even though, Father, we can carry this Bible around in our hands, never let us get too haughty in thinking that somehow we control what is inside of it. The content is living and it is active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. We thank you that your word breathes. And we thank you that it breathes out newness upon each and every one of us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, 27. Gosh, we're back in the book of Acts. How strange. So Paul's been talking to the Ephesian elders just by way of revisiting this because it's such an important, I think, such an important verse. Because Paul here, and most of us who are in ministry, I would hope all of us who are in ministry, would consider Paul, you know, the first gospel missionary, you know, the first really powerful voice. He's on par, in my opinion, with Moses in terms of God called Paul to be shepherd of his New Testament. You know, most of it is written by Paul. And a shepherd of God's people, and a shepherd of the apostles, a shepherd of all of this. And so here we have Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, speaking to the church. And here when he's speaking to the church, he tells them all that he has suffered on behalf of Christ, but he really tells them that it's been good. That it's been for their benefit, that their blood is no longer on his hands, that he can sleep at night because he has done all that he can do to proclaim the gospel, that he hasn't sold off any part of the gospel. He hasn't hesitated to declare to them any of God's counsel, even the parts that are uncomfortable or hard or frustrating. I mean, you know, we get into some of those vice lists in the New Testament that talk about fornication and sexuality and immorality, and we have people in our family who are struggling with things like homosexuality or struggling with alcoholism and all that. And those verses become incredibly difficult for us. And Paul says, I didn't hesitate to live in and breathe out and rest in and trust in those verses, even though they're the hard places where we all actually really live. And so Paul then says to them to pay careful attention to all the flock. I love this. In verse 28, Paul then moves out of this. He says, I've told you everything God's word has to say. Now, what is the call of the minister? Now, by the way, when Paul says he's declared to them everything that God has to say, God has, by the very nature of his word, declared to us all that he has to say to us. You know, people come to me all the time and they say, you know, I'm just praying that God would give me a word. And I don't mean this in a malicious way, and I don't mean this in a mean way, but I have said to many people, I've said, God has given you 779,000 words, and they're in his Bible. They're in his revealed truth. It's breathed out as we prayed in the beginning of the program. And so you need a word from God. He has it right here. It is right here. Romans chapter 15 tells us that it is good for reproof and instruction. It tells us what has happened and what will happen. This is not simply, you know, in addition to what God might do. This is God's word. It's what he has done and will do. And so Paul says, I didn't shrink back from declaring to you any of that. And he says, now pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So suddenly, the calling of the minister, the calling of the people of the church is no longer simply a job. It's no longer a hobby. It's no longer something you think you'd like to do. It's something that was given to you by the Holy Spirit. And that's Ephesians 2:8-9, isn't it? Ephesians 2:8-9, it says that the gift to believe, the faith to believe, was the gift of God that no man or woman might boast. I had the woman part in there because I want to bring some equality to this, that no one might boast. So it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. God has called you. You have been called. I get very, very frustrated with Christians who live below their inheritance and don't understand that they have been called by God. God called out over the vast distance of your sinfulness and your separation from him and drew and wooed you towards him and revealed himself through his Holy Spirit that you might not boast. He even gave you the faith to believe. There's nowhere from the beginning to end you could say, I did it. I was a part of it. God says, no, I did it all. You were hard-hearted. You were far from me, and I drew you near, and I saved you. By the way, isn't that the testimony in Numbers that Moses gives to the sons of Korah when they're being sinful? And he says, isn't it enough that the God of the Bible, the God of the universe, has called you to him? And so that's been the testimony of God and God's people for all time, is that isn't it enough that God has called you, because God has called you. And you as a Christian, God has called you by His Holy Spirit and given you His Holy Spirit. The very power that called you, that crossed the separation of sin, the very power that gave you the faith to believe, is now that very power that lives inside of you.
And this part that He made you overseers, aren't we all, in a sense, overseers?
Sure.
Overseers where we can be influencers, whether it's our children, our neighbors' children, our workmates. I mean, some are certainly called to be pastors, and I know you'll probably preach and talk a little about that, but we all have a role of overseeing others.
Sure. God gave some of them to be preachers, teachers, evangelists. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. God gave certain gifts and giftings to lead the flock of God. You know, if you kind of have a level leadership plane, you're going to have a lot of problems because then there's going to be a lot of fighting. God does give, and we see by the example of His Word, God does appoint leaders. God does appoint people. In fact, Romans 13 tells us that God appoints leaders to whom us as Christians have to submit to. And God tells us back in Isaiah that He appoints, in some cases, unrighteous leaders as a judgment over people who are not living to the way that He's called them to live. And so here He says, you know, pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Now, this is really interesting. You have to pay attention to yourself. What does God say when Jesus says what the mission is? The only command Jesus gave to Christians, the only command Jesus gave to Christians, He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and what? Love your brother as yourself. There is a sense of kind of self-centeredness. I want to be careful how I say this, Mark. Self-centeredness to Christianity, and it's not self-centered and selfishness, but it is understanding that there are things that you have to do to keep yourself. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 13, Peter says, gird your loins. He talks about in the beginning of that chapter the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ, and then he segues into living holy, and he says, gird your loins. He says, you're going to have to get ready. Kind of bunch up that robe, because you're going to have to stand a battle, and you don't want to trip over anything. Don't trip over yourself, is what Peter is really saying. And so there's this sense that we have to take time. It's not selfish for me to tell my wife I need to spend an hour in the morning reading my Bible and praying. That's not selfish. In fact, that's the most loving thing I can do for my family, because I'm going to lead and guide for my family better if I spend time with the Lord. And draw them into spending time with the Lord with me too. But we have to understand that Christianity has a part of it where we do have to center on ourselves to keep ourselves pure and holy so that we can lead, guide, speak out of, and live out of a holy place. You know, it doesn't mean that we're not going to fail, because we are not holy as God is holy. When God says, be holy just as I'm holy, He's setting the bar high. But then He realizes that we can't do that. He gives us His Holy Spirit.
What I'm thinking, too, it's also important to recognize whose you are. So you're valued because God has given you value, not because we're good at this or we have these abilities or talents or whatever. It's because it's all coming from God. But when we value ourselves through God's lenses, who He thinks we are, I mean, suddenly we are worthwhile.
Yeah. So what does Paul say? We want to kind of big picture here. Paul says, I didn't hesitate to tell you everything about what God says. Then he says, keep watch over yourselves. Then he says, because God has made you overseers to care for what? The church of God. Listen to me. That church that's on the corner that you attend, that church that's down the block that you attend, that church that's in Champaign that you attend, that's not your church. That's not your church. That's not my church. My church is not my church. The church I pastor is not my church. I have a practice that I do now, and I say this with all humility. I don't say this because I think like I'm better than anybody else. But I've taken this practice up when I drive up to the church and I park in my same parking space that I always park in. I always stop and say, thank you, God, for your church. Because I don't want to have any sense of driving up to the church and thinking this is mine. Because it's not mine. This church was blood bought. It was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ to be planted on that corner. I have nothing. In fact, if anything, I am standing in a long line of men who have stood and proclaimed the gospel at that corner. And at the same corners that maybe your church is on, or the street that you're on. In fact, my prayer that I wrote down the first day of the new year was, God, just help us to be a faithful witness on the corner that you have called us to. You know, that we might be faithful there. Because it's your church. It's the church of God. It should be a reflection of who God is. People should walk in and they should see God. Not in some fake kind of plasticky way, but they should see God reflected in the people who are there worshiping. They should see God in the reading of Scripture. They should see God in every single bit of it. I just finished a book, a really fascinating book, I'm going to buy 20 copies and make them available to people to buy at our church for like $5. But it's called Jesus, the Hero of the Church. Mm-hmm. And the writer of the book said, Jesus needs to be the hero of the announcements. He needs to be the hero of the reading of scripture, of singing, of the prayer time, of everything. You need to walk away from every single bit of your church service, every single bit of your church experience, thinking that Jesus Christ is the hero. You know, and especially it speaks so well to our culture now where we're enamored by superheroes, whether it's Captain America or Spider-Man or Batman or all these different superhero movies that seem to be coming out that my son drags me to nonstop. I go kicking and screaming with my Captain America t-shirt on. But this is the church of God, the scripture says, which he obtained. Why? How? By his own blood. This was blood bought, purchased by him. You may tithe, and my gosh, I hope you do tithe. I hope you do support the ministry that God has called you to be a part of. But this was purchased by his blood. He paid the greatest price, the ultimate price. God always pays the lion's share of the bill. God pays all of it. And so Paul says, so he makes this proclamation. He didn't hesitate to clear all the full counsel of God. And then now keep watch over the flock, but make sure you also watch yourself, because you get in trouble, the flock is going to get in trouble. And then he says, by the way, you really ought to make sure you do those two things, because this is God's church, not yours. Don't get too haughty. This is his church. And if you ever think that you're not sure how much it cost him everything. Mm-hmm. It cost him his son. It was blood bought. And then we come to the warning.
Verse 29, everybody.
Verse 29, the warning, because when you make these kind of emphatic claims about Jesus Christ, we talked about this on Wednesday, when you make these kinds of emphatic and powerful claims about Jesus Christ, about who he is and what his church is, Paul says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock. The same flock that you're called to watch yourself and then watch over that flock, Paul knows that the fierce wolves will come in. In fact, Peter talks about them in 1 Peter in chapter 5, where it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, verse 6 of chapter 5. So that in the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Listen to this. This is the taking care of yourself piece and guarding the flock that he called him to. Humbling yourself, casting your cares, realizing that God is God and he has a mighty hand and your hand is oftentimes weak. And he says, be sober-minded and be watchful. Now he's saying be sober-minded means realize the inadequacy of what you can do and the adequacy of what God can do. Being sober-minded and understanding the two in relationship. God can do all things and you can do some things and some of them not so well. And then he says, be watchful. That's the carrying over the flock, isn't it? Looking around, keeping watch. That's not just watching who comes into your church. That's watching what doctrines blow in the front door from a liberal culture. That's watching what the culture is trying to say is okay, that's not okay to the Bible. You know, I wonder how many of us would sit down in the morning and pull open the newspaper and pull the Bible over and read the newspaper with the Bible and go, huh, nope, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. God's word is the first word for us as Christians.
The plumb line, huh?
The plumb line. I mean, it's the one that makes the whole house straight. You're going to get a crooked house if you don't get in there and get into God's word. And so be sober-minded and watchful. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Here, Peter uses the metaphor of a roaring lion because Christians were being fed to lions at this time. And so there's this kind of, for Christians, the lion was the one who devoured Christians. For Paul, Paul's using this analogy of a fierce wolf, but both of them would be animals to which a normal person would be helpless against, especially wolves. And wolves, by the way, what do we know about wolves? They're pack hunters. They hunt in packs, which means you don't just see one. I've really rarely ever come across one person who's heretical. They usually travel in little packs because misery loves company, and the most miserable thing you could ever do is attack Jesus Christ and not believe in him as the resurrection. And so they're pack hunters. And so here he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour somebody. And then he says what? Resist him. How do you resist him? Firm in your faith. That's the whole counsel of God right there. Firm in your faith. You won't be firm in your faith unless you read God's word. I wonder how many of us are going to resolve, as many of us have made resolutions, you want to lose a little bit of weight, you want to get better organized, you want to do all these things in the new year. I wonder how many of us are going to be resolved to study God's word like we never have before. Because our faith is supposed to abound. We're supposed to grow in faith and knowledge, Scripture says. That means that this year should be different than last year in the depth and the ways that you're studying God's Word. And so you're supposed to be growing in your faith. So I wonder how many of you are going to resolve to study God's Word like you never have before. Getting in there, understanding who God is, reveling in that, and celebrating who God is. Because that's how you resist Him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. That means that we see that not only are the lions and the wolves here, but the lions and the wolves are over there, and the lions and the wolves are over there, that they're ever present. There are always people who have objections to who God is. Because, listen, not everybody wants you to be free. Jesus came to set the captives free, and that means that somewhere, somehow, in a bunch of different places, there's going to be some pretty angry captors. Makes me think of when Paul was grabbed up by the metal workers in Ephesus, and he was taken, and they had that big crowd, and they took him, and they brought him into the square, and they were going to kill him, and then the town's... Oh, the whole thing is just...
That city clerk or
the city clerk raised up like the most unlikely guy. When we think of city clerk, we don't think about the likely guy. It wasn't the mayor. It wasn't the king. It was the city clerk. Guys, wait a second. And we just think about that, how that happened. You know, they grabbed a hold of him. Why? Because they were out to hunt. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, which means, listen, part of the Christian faith is suffering. Maybe for you, it's just watching TV and being frustrated. And God would love for you to say, you know what, instead of being angry at that presidential candidate or that president or that person on TV, I'm going to pray for them right now. Mm-hmm. The hardest thing, I don't know about you, but the hardest thing for me sometimes is to see something happen on TV and stop and pray. Because I don't want to pray. I want to yell at the TV. I want to get mad. I want to go, what an idiot. I can't believe that person. And my wife, who's great, she always has to tap me on the leg and say, let's pray for that person because they are lost. Yeah. And after a little while, after you suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's what Paul's really saying to these people here, these elders. He's saying God is enough. God will strengthen you. He'll bless you. He'll keep you. Now keep watch over the flock. And then watch out for those wolves.
Well, we'll continue in this book of Acts on future Fridays, so continue to join us. And I hope the programming today and throughout this weekend will be a real blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.